Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you. Today is an exciting day. Today is Story Sunday. But before we get into that, I want to tell you a little bit about next week. Next week is Baptism Sunday. Yeah. So there are about seven, and probably more as the week rolls on, seven people who are going to be baptized next week in the Fraser River down there, which has significantly lowered, so they're not going to get swept away or anything like that. We're going to be holding the baptisms between the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock services. So you can come to the 9 and then travel down with us just down the road to the river, or you can come a little bit earlier to the 11 and then come back for church then. It's going to be an absolute blast. We love Baptism Sunday because that means we get to hear from people about what God has been doing in their lives, which is what we're also getting to do today at Story Sunday. If you are newer, you might not have ever been a part of one of these with Living Waters before, but you need to know that they are incredibly special and incredibly important to our community. As we learn together and as we live together in community, we genuinely believe that God is working in each and every one of us. We actually believe that he is involved in our lives, that he's transforming us, that he's doing something. And so as we experience God and as we move closer and closer to him and are better acquainted with Jesus and his work, we think that those stories are worth sharing. We think they're absolutely worth sharing. This is a form this morning, as we're going to hear from people. This is a form of preaching gospel. These are real people who are going to take a risk and be shockingly honest with you this morning and share about what God has been doing in their lives. And so we hope that this morning, as we hear from these people, that we won't only just be encouraged as a broader community, but we'll also be inspired and be reminded that God is working in every single one of us, even the people that we would least expect, that maybe God is even working in you. That as you hear the stories this morning, you'd be reminded of what he's doing in you. And so we hope that we'll also be inspired this morning to value and share each of our stories more, not only within this context of Christian community, but also with people who are not fully aware yet of the bigger story that they're a part of the story that Jesus is writing. And so our hope that as we value and share story, that each and every one of us would be inspired and look to our own and consider what God is doing in the middle of that. So we've been walking through the fruit of the Spirit for the entire summer, June, July, and August. And we've been looking at this passage that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatian Christians. And we don't exactly know what this letter did for them. We don't have the outcome of this letter written down. It was sent out, it was received, it was read to everybody, to multiple churches, but we don't know the outcome of it. We don't have those stories. But today, we get to hear a little bit about what this teaching through the work of Jesus is doing to us, which is an incredibly exciting prospect, and I'm excited for it. So this morning, we get to hear from Janica, from Jason, and from Corey. And before we do that, I'm just going to pray that we would be open to Jesus as he teaches us through the testimony of his people. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you for what you have done in the stories and in the lives of the people we're about to hear from. And I pray that these stories would go along well with the biblical teaching that we have walked through, that we would know your truth, but we'd also recognize it and see it in action. And so we pray that you would give the people who are about to share just such strength, and fill them with your Spirit. And I pray that we'd be open to what you want to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's the thing about coming up here and talking. It's not easy. So these people are risking, they're sharing with you honestly, so they need to feel incredibly welcome. So when they come up, there's got to be a cheer. When they go down, there's got to be a cheer, because could you imagine doing what they're about to do? It's nerve-wracking, but they are doing this because they believe Jesus has been working in their lives, and they're doing this for your benefit. So we're going to begin this morning with Janica. Janica, come on up.
having me. So, I love stories. When I first started going to church about 6 years ago, my first pastor began every sermon with a story that usually related to whatever his topic was. This really appealed to me because my motto has always been, your life is only as good as the stories you can tell in the end. Now, I don't remember most of the stories I heard those Sunday mornings, but one really struck with me. The story is a fable about a king who goes to war with his brother, and he loses. An important part of the story is that the king had a great appreciation for cooking, and as a result, he was quite large. His brother, on the other hand, was quite thin. After the battle was over, the brother built a room around the defeated king with only one door, no lock, but it was only wide enough for a thin man to pass through. The brother told the defeated king he could leave the room at any time as long as he lost enough weight to pass through this door, and he could reclaim his kingdom. Now, this seems quite easy. You have the choice to lose all this weight, but it wasn't quite so easy. Not only was there no Jenny Craig at this time, his brother was quite smart, and he got the best cooks of all the land to send the best food of all the land to this defeated king. And story has it, he never left. So he spent the rest of his life in this room. When I heard this story, I really associated with the defeated king because I felt like my temptations in my life were trapping me, preventing me from being able to enter into the kingdom of God. You see, this story is quite a bit like being a good Christian. Nothing is stopping us from showing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Paul was quite right when he said, there are no laws against these things, these fruits of our spirit. But back to my love of stories. If something exciting happens in my life, I want to tell everybody. It's ridiculous. Even when somebody cuts me off when I'm driving or somebody is rude to me, there's a tiny little part of me that is a bit excited to just tell everybody about it. But there's one story that has always been a little bit difficult for me to share, and that's the story of God. Now, you would think that somebody who can manage to find your walk to the grocery store exciting enough to tell a story about would find the story of God really amazing, because the story of God is kind of awesome. And my greatest sadness stemmed from my lack of faithfulness in God. I was unable to be open about my Christianity. I began to feel like I did not deserve God, and I turned my back on Christianity. About a year ago, I started going to Living Waters, and I began to make a connection with God. And I have seen major changes in myself through the power of God, not through my power. Also, God has blessed me with many opportunities to share his story with many people I never thought I would be able to. During the Fruits of the Spirit session, something suddenly clicked. I do not have to be the perfect person to be a Christian. Rather, my relationship with him will turn me into the person he wants me to be. And when the time is right, he will show me how to show his story. Because I can truthfully say, he is my redeemer, he is my shepherd, he is my light when my life is dark, he is the first, the last, the only. He is music to my ears and honey on my lips. And all his people said,
amen. Amen. I love Janica's story, and I've been able to be a part of it for a while. Like she said, she's been a part of the church for about a year, and watching someone come to the realization that Jesus has done everything, that they don't have to do it, and that he is simply going to bleed into them, and they're going to bleed that out to everybody else, is a beautiful, beautiful story. So I'm so glad that you shared that with us, Janica, because it was a simple truth, but it's something that so many of us wrestle with and struggle with, is this feeling of not being worthy enough and not doing enough, and understanding that Jesus has done it and all he wants to do is be with you and transform you and let him do the work. And that's a beautiful, beautiful story. So thanks for sharing that. Jason Keegstra is going to come on up. Let's say hi to Jason. So Jason and I are going to have a little chat because we like to do that all the time.
We do.
Yes, we do. So Jason was at Trinity Western University. He was an athlete there. He was in the equestrian program, actually. And like two people got that. That's okay. Riding a horse?
A really big horse.
A really big horse.
Or a really small one. If you
yeah, you could just run. Yeah. So Jason, you graduated from Trinity Western a few years ago, and you played basketball for Trinity Western. What is it that you do now?
Yeah, this is a weird question for me to answer because it's kind of different all the time. But I think the easiest answer to give is that I am a sports ministry coordinator for university campus athletes.
Right. So what does that look like? What does your job sort of entail?
First and foremost, probably discipleship, like one-on-one mentorship. I also coordinate like team Bible studies within the athletic department. A lot of it comes down to developing student leaders, though, so that I'm not the one running everything. We're not interested in just setting up programs for athletes, but actually creating a community where the athletes are the ones engaging in developing each other.
So how did that come about? You graduate from Trinity Western University. You played ball for 5 years there. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And you go, okay, what's next? How did you step into something like this?
Yeah, I think that's probably where the first fruit comes in. Yeah. Faithfulness for me was the big one at the time. I actually have not graduated from Trinity and never went to Trinity in the first place for that. I was just an athlete at the time, and so I had always thought that I would just continue to be an athlete after I was finished at Trinity, and the Lord had different plans, and basically was looking for opportunities wherever I could to continue playing basketball, and nothing was revealing itself, we'll put it that way. Basically, opportunities had dried up. And kind of out of nowhere, in my last semester, in the last month of my last semester at Trinity, which was just about 3 years ago now, one of my mentors, the guy who actually did the job I'm doing now, decided that him and his wife were leaving to Northern Ireland, and they were doing global soccer ministry there, setting up a new hub, and that I was the guy that needed to fill their position along with one of their other coworkers from their mission organization. And I thought they were crazy. So basically growing up, I had never imagined that full-time ministry would be a viable option. And that was maybe a product of where I grew up and the churches I was involved in, but whatever the case was, I just never even considered it. But I basically had to just kind of say, well, nothing else looks like it's going to work out unless I want to work a minimum wage job and be dissatisfied with where I'm at. So I just kind of said, okay, I guess faithfulness needs to take root in my life, and I accepted the job offer about a month after I was asked, and I think they were questioning their decision to ask me, but I finally said yes and signed a contract about 2 weeks later.
Right. So when we were talking, you'd shared about how university, your experience of Jesus is different than it is now, and part of your role and what God has been doing over the past 2 years, there's been a lot of work going on. Can you talk a little bit about what that has looked like for you and the revelations you've come to, the transformation you've seen in your own life?
Yeah, I mean, those who work in ministry will understand some of what I'm saying probably more. It might resonate with them more. But when you are put in charge of leading a large group of individuals, and especially young adults, for me, it's daunting, especially when you're a young adult yourself. I was 22 when I started my position at Trinity, and there was a lot of doubt there that I could be the leader that I envisioned myself to be. And at the end of the day, you can't lead a ministry effectively if you are not submitting to the Lord yourself. Mm-hmm. That luckily didn't take me all that long to figure out, and I think I had a lot of good mentors around me leading me in the right direction that way. But it probably took me almost the whole first semester of my job to understand that, you know, after I got past the doubt that I could do it, I became probably overly confident that I had all the right answers and all the right ideas. As a young leader probably goes through that phase. I learned very quickly and was reminded by the Lord that everyone's journey is ongoing, and everyone's is a lot different than mine. And so I had to realize quickly that all of my ideas would probably generate a lot of conflict within my work environment if I was not not patient and gentle with the way I was approaching this newfound leadership. And that was tough. It took a while to be okay with leaning on the Lord all the time. You know, as humans, we're not very good at that. So, but it's been extremely freeing to understand that as a leader, you don't have to have all the right answers, but you do have to be committed to being the best of who you are. And that for us as Christians is to understand that our truth and in who we are is actually found in Christ. So
you've found, as you've looked at this challenge before you of leading these students, of trying to develop this program, having just graduated or just coming from that program yourself, going, the only way I can do this is through the strength of Jesus. Do you remember like the period of time that switched for you when you started to feel yourself really truly leaning on him? And what did that look like day to day? Because a lot of people say that, like, you got to really trust and lean on Jesus for everything that you want to do, but we don't always quantify it. So what did that look like for you in your personal life?
Yeah, that's a bit of a tough question. I think probably at the end of my first semester of work, when the three of us as leaders of our department met together, I just kind of felt a sense of discouragement within the three of us, and just kind of equated that to we weren't actually trusting that the Lord was at work in our athletes and in our coworkers, and that somehow we weren't doing the right things or didn't have the right answers or the right approach to what we were charged with doing. And we kind of had it backwards because we had forgotten that the Lord was the one that was dictating what needed to happen and that we didn't need to do that. Which as a leader is really, it's humbling.
Yeah.
You kind of, oh, shoot, like what? I mean, what do I do now, right?
Yeah.
And for me, it just really came down to I got to be more committed to my own personal relationship with the Lord. And that really just looked like me spending more time reading God's Word and also remembering what it is that I've been gifted with. So I got more engaged back in sport. It wasn't so much I got to lead these people, but I need to actually be engaged in the sport that I love so much. So I started playing basketball a lot more again. And I actually started playing soccer, which I played until I had to make a decision. So grade 12, I had to make a decision what I was going to do with university. And so I had to stop playing soccer, but I started again and loved it. And that opened up new doors with all of our soccer athletes. So it just became more of a, well, let's figure out my true passions, I guess. Mm-hmm. And let's lean on the Lord to give me the guidance that I need. And it really brought a calmness about the life that I was living. And I didn't have... I know a lot of people love to have schedules and a very regimented day-to-day life. And the demand for me was to not have that. And it was more to be readily available to our athletes at any moment, at any time of day. And I think that's when it shifted for me. And that's when I really started to love what I did. Yeah. And understood why I was called to do that.
Right. So, like, in retrospect, it seems so simple. And I think that we've said that, you know, all through this series even, and this is, your life is a great example of that, where we go, no, it really can't be that simple. But here you are in this environment, this calling, and you've got all these ideas, and it's rolling around, and then you find yourself simply called to being with Jesus and his word and spending time with people and getting down to their level. Mm-hmm. And I love the humility that's come from that and the fruit that we've seen in your ministry from that, because it's been so clear that the heart is in the right place. And that's it's a beautiful, beautiful story. Thanks for sharing, Jason. I really appreciate it. So say thanks. Our final story today is shared by a young woman who I think is just awesome and brave. And we're really excited to hear from her this morning. So Corey Kay is going to come on up. Let's say hi to Corey.
Hi, I'm Corey. I've been attending Living Waters for just over a year now. I thought I would begin by sharing a little bit about myself with you. I'm an American. I was born in Portland, Oregon. My parents divorced when I was 5, and my mom remarried a Canadian, so we moved to Canada when I was 7. I'm an only child, spoiled with material things, but not with the love that I longed for. I'm a teacher. I teach grade 2 in a public school in Surrey. I'm an introvert who needs to have time by myself. I volunteer as a big sister, so I have a little sister who is going into grade 7 this year. She has been a very special gift from God to me, and we have been together for almost 3 years now. On a side note, both her and her mom were baptized this summer. I have also begun volunteering this summer at an assisted living home, and what a joy this has been. I have a kitty cat named Skittles, and we love to cuddle together. I love to bake and cook. I took a cake decorating course this spring, and I'm an official graduate. I love to host people in my home or plan parties. I love to garden, and thanks to an amazing green thumb friend of mine, my deck looks incredible. I love to run. It is my special time with God. I love to sing and dance. In my classroom, we often break out and dance. I love to be creative, whether it is doing crafts, decorating my home, picking out clothes to wear, or even, as I have begun this summer, painting. I love bright colors. You may have seen me with bright pink hair. I love photography, and my camera goes with me everywhere that I go. And I love telling stories and hearing other people's stories. The reason why I am sharing all this with you is because if you had asked me to share about myself 6 months ago, my story would be very different. 6 months ago, God made it very clear to me that I have an eating disorder. And just like Leanne and Elise spoke about last Sunday, food, exercise, and body image had become an idol for me and was taking God's place in my life. I had been living in a very dark place, full of shame and guilt. I did not love myself. I did not truly believe that God loved me or that I was worthy of his love. I had no joy, no peace, no love, no goodness, no kindness, no patience, no gentleness, and no self-control. I was very alone. My first step was telling a very close friend and then telling my doctor. And so began my journey of healing. I had to quit shadow boxing and get into the race. My path hasn't been easy, but it has been solid. God has been with me every step of this journey. There are times where I am completely blown away by what he has done for me and how much he has revealed his love for me. I truly understand what grace is. I ended up taking a month leave of absence from work and returning to work only part-time until the end of the school year. This was an extremely hard decision for me to make, as those voices in my head kept telling me that I was weak by doing this. But what a rich and powerful time I shared with God during this time. I was able to take a risk and be vulnerable with my staff at work and share with them why I was taking time off work. This led to another coworker opening up to me and sharing her story with food. She had never told anyone before. Her and I have now begun a relationship with each other on a much deeper level, calling and texting each other when we need to, and it has been incredible to see what God has been doing in both of our lives. We also hope to start a club at our school this coming year to empower young girls. During my time off, slowly, God showed me the beautiful person he has created me to be, and he has helped me to love myself, accept myself for who I am, embrace my imperfections, and not be afraid to be me. Fruitfulness is not something we can bring about. We need God to do it. God is doing it in me. For so long, I had been turning away from God, much like the prodigal son, or in my case, daughter, which was leading me to failure and brokenness. But when I came to God in complete brokenness, he came running towards me, embraced me with tears in his eyes, and told me he loves me and he will never leave me. And I began to rest my head on his heart and surrender to his love. And you know what? It felt great. God has been embracing me all through this journey. This is why this season in my life has been so powerful and amazing. Every time I take a new step, a hard step, God is there full of so much love and grace. Running this race has required a lot of hard work, but through it, God has changed me. He has given me the courage to love and accept and embrace myself, which has rooted the fruit of the spirits within me. He has given me a new life, one full of love, joy, kindness, patience, peace, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He has brightened my world. It truly is a gift. I am his beloved daughter, and I am his treasure. And you are too. In closing, my life group has been reading Abba's Child by Brennan Manning. I would like to leave you with this quote from the book. Wise men and women have long held that happiness lies in being yourself without inhibitions. Let the great rabbi hold you silently against his heart. In learning who he is, you will find out who you are, Abba's child in Christ our Lord.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Corey. In learning who he is, you will learn who you are. And that wonderfully sums up what we have been talking about all summer. Do we want to be people who aren't left where we are in our brokenness and in our sin? Do we want to be people who do exhibit this goodness and this love and patience and kindness and faithfulness and all of these traits. Absolutely, we do. But our call as a body this summer has been from the beginning and is, you know, exclamation point at the end today. Let's draw closer to Jesus. He is working. He is alive. He is active. And if you're here today and you're in a place that Corey was a number of months ago, with a struggle that is difficult and desperately needs the work of Jesus, today I encourage you to open yourself up to him. Because he will bring light. He will bring life. And Corey will tell you that all day long. All day long. Let's stand. We're going to close our service this morning. If this summer what we've been teaching and what the stories that you've heard this morning have moved you and you feel like you need to take a step, I encourage you to do that. If that's with somebody that you know and sharing a part of your life that you haven't shared before, then do that. If you'd like to meet with one of our leaders on our pastoral team, we'd love to help you with that as well. So Leanne and myself, as well as some of the other leaders and council members, will be around here at the front. And if you want to talk about next steps and moving forward, if you feel you need support, then we want to be here for you in that. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for what you are doing in us. Thank you for the diversity that is represented here this morning. Thank you for the victories that you're winning in our lives. Jesus, thank you that you are with us every single step of our story and our journey. Lord, for the people that are here today that are just stepping into their realization of your goodness and your love for them, I pray that that would increase this morning. That in this moment they would know you, they would know your truth and your love and feel that powerfully. I pray for those of us that have been walking with you for some time. Jesus, if we need a new revelation of your grace and your mercy that inspires us and challenges us and pushes us forward, I pray that you would pour that into us right now. In Jesus' name, we are open to it, Lord. And Jesus, we just pray that as you do these things in us, it wouldn't stop here, that it would continue to go forward. As Corey has shared about what's now going on in her school because of what you have done in her, we pray, Jesus, that you would take the healing and the work that you're doing in us and you would broaden it to our neighborhoods, to our workplaces, to our families, that it would go much further than we ever imagined. So we thank you, Jesus, for what you're up to and pray we'd continue to be open to it as we move into this fall and as we move into a new season. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. We'll see you next week for Baptism Sunday, if not before. Have a great rest of your day.